We got an early look at T-Mobile's shiny new nationwide 5G network.
You should find out if it's worth your time and money.
Stick around for your daily charge.
Good morning and welcome to The Daily Charge. It's Thursday, December 5th. I'm Roger Chang.
I'm Alfred Ng.
And I'm Eli Blumenthal.
Let's get to today's headlines. T-Mobile is set to launch its nationwide 5G network tomorrow. Keep in mind, this is different from the super fast but super limited network it quietly turned on earlier this year. This flavor of 5G offers way more coverage, hits about 60% of the country, but the speeds aren't that impressive. Eli, you had a chance to actually test out the network. What did you find?
So I've been using it for the last few days on this OnePlus 7T Pro 5G McLaren. It's a name of
lovely
a phone
name.
That just rolls off the tongue. Totally. One of the things I can't wait for 2020 is when 5G phones get normal names again, hopefully. And yeah, the experience has largely been the same as 4G, at least here in New York.
We talked about this on Monday. Like, the T-Mobile sort of promised on average 20% increases in speeds, which most people aren't really going to get. Like, ultimately, is this even worth it?
It depends on where you live. In some areas, like in Hawaii, where our colleague Jessica Delcourt has been covering the Qualcomm conference, she got speeds over 250 megabits per second over 5G. Whereas,
granted, this was at the backyard of a conference sponsored by Qualcomm, one of the biggest 5G companies out there.
Yes, their antennas are inside.
So you can imagine every single tool that they pulled out of the toolbox was
used to make
that
network great. If you want a perfectly optimized network, you'll probably find it there.
Right.
So that's a big caveat.
So let's all fly to Maui.
That's it. We should all move to Maui. For a lot of people, at least right now, it's not going to change the world. It's not going to be the crazy super fast speeds that you see with Verizon, where it's over a gigabit per second.
Right.
But at the same point in time, you can actually use this inside. You don't have to be on a street corner in, you know, New York City or, you know, LA or one of the other 18 cities that it's in right now.
So how do I download more 5G?
How do you download more 5G? That's a great question. The quick answer is you give your wireless carrier lots of money and you get a new phone.
Oh, okay. That's good to
that's
know.
That's a really simple step, actually.
Yeah. It's just $900 for this OnePlus 7T Pro 5G McLaren. It's a nice, again, simple name. $1,300 if you want the Galaxy Note 10 Plus. T-Mobile have both of these phones on sale tomorrow, Friday, December 6th.
Yeah. Right. We kind of knocked the speed boost because, I mean, you did get some speeds that were actually pretty impressive. I think there was an image of you with 100 megabits per second.
Yeah,
clock speed at
some
point.
But those are speeds that I was able to replicate on a Galaxy S10 5G on T-Mobile's 4G network. That S10 5G can use 5G when I'm using millimeter wave, which is a higher frequency type of 5G that T-Mobile has.
And Verizon has,
and AT&T has. T-Mobile only has it live in about six cities right now, including New York.
Mm-hmm.
And when we compare them side by side, like I did last night, I got about over 200 megabits per second with millimeter wave T-Mobile 5G compared to 66 on low band.
Just to clarify things for readers, this is what kind of makes the whole situation crappy, is if you buy these new phones that are pretty expensive, you don't get to access the other faster 5G network. You just get the slower 5G network with better coverage, but slower, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of complications with this early wave of 5G, and especially with this batch of phones, as you just mentioned. You're very much limited. You basically are picking which type of 5G you want. If you want a lot of coverage, you got to go with this or the Galaxy Note. If you want the faster speeds and you live in one of those six cities, you'll go with the S10. But what you really should do is wait until next year when phones are expected to support both the low band, the millimeter wave, as well as Sprint's mid-band spectrum. And Sprint, of course, and T-Mobile are trying to complete that merger.
I kind of want to answer the question at the beginning of the broadcast. So is this worth your time and money?
If you really want to show your friends that you have a 5G icon on your phone, sure, and you have $900 or $1,300 to spend, sure.
Wow, what a loser-ass friend.
otherwise, you're really not, for the most part, going to see much of a difference. You're better off saving your money waiting for the next crop of phones that usually arrive in the spring.
Right. I will say the one benefit we saw was indoor coverage, right?
Yes,
indoor coverage was pretty good.
Indoor coverage was a bit faster on this OnePlus compared to the S10 5G over 4G.
Yep.
5G was a little bit better. Wasn't drastically different, but it was improved. So if you are primarily indoors and T-Mobile coverage isn't great, you might get a little bit of a better experience with
this. But generally, we should probably wait till next year.
All
right, next up, ransomware emerged as a threat to individuals just a few years ago, but now scammers are on to bigger targets. So why hit one person when we could hold an entire city hostage? Alfred, you have a nice breakdown on how ransomware became sort of one of the go-to cybersecurity threats in 2019. Like, what'd you find?
Yeah, so ransomware really served as a big wake-up call for a lot of cities over the last year. 2018, it started dying down, and then in 2019, cybersecurity companies were seeing this just really spiked. More than 70 cities and, you know, local governments have been hit by ransomware attacks. That doesn't just mean, you know, like the courts or city hall or anything. That could also mean school districts. There was one school district that just they had to cancel school for the day because they couldn't access their computer network or anything like that.
And was it Atlanta? Atlanta was hit
in 2018.
Okay,
but
okay.
I mean, Atlanta is a good example of why ransomware had grown so much. So
because they ended up paying, right?
Yeah. They didn't pay.
Oh.
So when Atlanta was hacked in 2018, this was like you couldn't pay your water bills online. Like you had to go down to the courthouse and do it, that kind of stuff. So Atlanta decided we're not going to pay this $50,000 ransomware. Instead, we're going to rebuild our whole city like computer system. That cost them like $15 million to do that.
Right.
Other cities saw that and just thought, well, we can't afford to do that. So when they get hit by ransomware, they just decide to pay. But the problem is that as more cities decide to pay, hackers see that and think, oh,
easy targets.
I'm just gonna continue hacking more cities.
Then.
Yeah, because I can continue making more money. So the ransom demands got higher because of that too. So in the span of 1 week, two cities in Florida paid basically $1.1 million in ransomware.
Wow.
Ransom, I guess, or fines, fees, whatever. Because they don't want to deal with like rebuilding their network. But the problem with that, like I said, if you continue paying them, these attacks are going to continue happening. So now for 2020, so many different local officials, city governments, even like Homeland Security is like trying to figure out a way to prevent this attack from continuing the rise that it's had.
And is there like something, I know there's no guarantees in this, in cybersecurity, but like what exactly are they doing to protect themselves from ransomware?
So the idea is that if you have good backups of everything that you're doing, like even if you're getting hacked by ransomware, which is essentially they take over your computer, they encrypt all these files, and basically if you want the keys to your important files in your computer again, pay us this amount of money.
Right.
If you have backups of all of it and you've backup like pretty frequently, then you're not as worried about ransomware, right? Like if this computer gets hacked, I can just say, okay, well, I have a backup from 3 hours ago. I don't like need this kind of stuff. The problem is like ransomware has also gotten smarter about that. So they'll wait until like you don't have a backup. Like they can destroy backups too.
Oh, wow.
They can encrypt like the backups. So like it becomes this whole cat and mouse thing. It's like, well, now I have this backup on like an air gapped server where like it's not connected online at all.
Right.
But the thing with that is like, it's not as simple. Like I would have to take the backup and then go physically go to this server and like back it up there instead of doing online. Backups are usually the key there. And like backing up frequently to make sure that you don't get hacked by this. But it's very different for me to back up this one computer versus an entire city saying like, we got to back everything
up
like twice a day.
That's a huge amount of data. Yeah.
How are they taking over these computers? Is this like just non-installing security updates? Is this bad IT management?
So they'll usually get into a computer network by like somebody on the staff like clicking on an email accidentally or something like that.
It's
like
just usually, bad security practices.
Yeah, it's usually like a phishing practice. But the thing is like I don't have to do anything to get infected by it if somebody else in my company did the same thing.
Just takes one person.
Yeah, because you saw with WannaCry back in 2017, the ransomware that hit like all these hospitals from North Korea, that it just took like it spread throughout the network. So if I share files with somebody or like if I'm on the same Wi-Fi as someone here, I can get hit with ransomware even though I did nothing wrong.
Wow. All right. Lastly, as part of CNET's Decade in Review, we looked at the products that have died over the last 10 years. The one I personally weep for the most is AOL Instant Messenger, since that's I first started chatting with people online. Do you guys have any products that you're going to miss or are already missing since they're long and gone?
Well, before we get into this, what was your screen name?
I think it was Wizard 2401. It was very cheesy, I know. Very, very early 90s. What about you guys? What are you missing?
For me, well, from the last 10 years, just going through our story, there's a lot of... It's surprised me a little bit how much has changed.
Yeah.
Over since, you know, 2010 till now. MoviePass was a nice thing to have.
That was a recent one.
That's a recent one. But I don't know if you guys subscribed to it. I did.
I never did.
It was great. For the three months it worked really well. The early
promise of it was amazing.
Too good to be true.
And it really was too good to be true.
Very much so. Windows Phone was another
one. I guess I missed Theranos. You know, I could really tell like all my blood symptoms from one drop.
You mean Theranos?
Whatever. it's dead. I mean, I sincerely miss like how quiet my inbox was. And like you were not expected to respond to people like past like certain hours, and now it's just like I don't know, that is dead. That you like Slack coming on.
I feel
on
like
the scene
that
now.
Was dead even 10 years ago. Though.
Well, no, I think it's different with like Slack now though, where it's you're expected to respond like even more frequently.
Alfred had a very particular
you know what?
Work.
You were also very you weren't working 10 years ago.
This is also true
because 10 years ago, I was just it wasn't Slack, it was email, and I was responding 24 hours a day. So
yeah, that sucks.
That was the thing.
News never stops.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say I miss any of these products. We all have like functional replacements
miss
for
the
all
Zoom.
Of them.
You can say
actually,
you, miss
you know
the
what?
Zoom.
I kind of miss. There was a not the original Zoom, but there was a later version of the Zoom.
The Zoom
was,
HD.
The
iPod Touch one.
It was like the iPod Touch one that was actually kind of cool. It looked cooler than an iPod. It was thin, and it was kind of the basis for the Windows Phone, which I do kind of like.
Yeah, I miss Windows Phone.
I still have my iPod Nano, like the little clip one.
Oh yeah, that's perfect for the gym.
Yeah, it just
the
got
Apple
annoying.
Watch precursor.
Yeah, basically because you put like a leather band on it or something.
Yep.
I just it got annoying like syncing music to it all the time. So
yes.
I got Spotify like 2 years ago. So yeah,
look
sorry.
At you living in the modern age.
Yeah.
There you go.
They're all dead. So.
For the Daily Charge, I'm Roger Chang.
I'm Alfred Hang.
I'm Eli Blumenthal.
Thanks for joining us.
Can't get enough. Check out The Daily Supercharge, our extended post show with special features, audience Q&A, and in-depth reviews. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.